Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
It is heralded as one of the world's largest nuclear power plants. It promises to create thousands of jobs and add billions to the provincial economy. And Ontario Power Generation, or OPG, and Port Hope have signed a partnership agreement known as a Memorandum of Understanding 2 weeks ago. It is meant to get the process underway. In this interview, Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankbinski is going to set out what is included in this agreement as council and residents prepare to debate the project. She will outline the terms, the money, the goals and objectives for this initial stage. The mayor will provide her thoughts on local engagement and the role of those outside Port Hope who wish to comment, as she gives the framework for going forward. Have a listen and see if what she says helps you better understand what is happening and what comes next. I'm so pleased to welcome back Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankbinski. Good to see you again on Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you. Good to be with you again.
What does this memorandum of understanding the municipality has signed do?
Okay. Well, do you want me to go back to a little bit of the background or just to really outline what this means that we signed on February the 12th?
I'd like us to start with just February 12th.
Okay, so we signed a memorandum of understanding with OPG, Ontario Power Generation, to advance a collaboration related to, and here are some of the key things, the exploration of potential new nuclear generation at our Wesleyville site in Port Hope. And I'm going to say that it is a non-binding, really want to underscore this. It's intended to help outline our planning activities, strengthen community engagement, to support some sustainable development and growth around the process, and to maintain community well-being. But it is not a host agreement. It does not commit us to hosting a nuclear facility and does not bind council to any future decisions. So really, in a word, it's a symbolic procedural extension of council's earlier direction to engage in discussions in good faith with OPG around the possibility of a potential new nuclear generation project at Wesleyville.
You've been very articulate about this idea of exploration and that there's nothing here that is being committed to in a concrete way going forward. It's just simply something that advances the process. Could you talk a little bit more about then, if I'm a resident and I'm listening to this, what does that mean to me?
Well, what it means to you is that this municipality is doing its due diligence. This is a very long process. It's a very complex project. Back in December of 2024, our council adopted a resolution which expressed our interest in exploring the potential of a clean energy generation opportunity in Wesleyville. But the exploration of such an opportunity also requires that we are ready to engage in that process of exploration, of collaboration, and of discussion. And we have to have a framework for understanding what those roles and responsibilities are. And importantly, we needed to advocate to have the resources in order to do that work.
Well, speaking of resources, I understand there was some money involved in this. How much was the money and what's it for?
Correct. So we originally had received $1 million for growth readiness when the announcement was first made in January of 2025 around the exploration of this project at the Wesleyville site. Now that we have an MOU in place that really does outline more about the process and what we need to have on the side of the municipality in terms of staff composition and also just other kinds of resources to be growth ready, we did advocate. I worked very, very diligently with our CAO, and we secured $4.5 million of growth readiness to help engage in these discussions to basically fulfill some of the roles and responsibilities outlined in the MOU and to ensure that we had the right staffing support in order to do this work. I mean, this work is very complicated. We're entering into now a multi-year impact assessment process. We've got to ensure that we know what kind of legal oversight is required for this. We need to be prepared for economic development opportunities. We need to be doing additional things in terms of planning and readiness and engineering. These things are not done on the corner of one's desk. And we were very determined to ensure that those additional responsibilities and associated costs would not be borne by our taxpayers.
I'd like to now take that step back. And can you describe the process which led to the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding? You alluded to it a little bit, but can you just take us through the timeline?
Sure. I mean, this gives you a sense of really how long-term this process is. And at this stage, we're taking baby steps. So it was originally in December of 2024, and precisely it was December 17th, that the Council of the Municipality of Port Hope adopted a resolution which expressed Council's interest in exploring this clean energy potential at the Wesleyville site. The resolution, as I mentioned before, really just stated that we are supporting the dialogue and engagement with OPG and the province and local stakeholders, and that we were just formally communicating this initial step in exploring opportunities. A month later, in January of 2025, the provincial government announced that it had asked OPG to explore the opportunity for new nuclear at the Wesleyville site in Port Hope. And that followed on our expression of interest and also the expression of interest from the Williams Treaties First Nations. So those were really the initial steps. And at that January announcement, we also received the $1 million initial investment of growth readiness. And then, as I had mentioned, in February 12th of this year, we signed the official memorandum of understanding with OPG, and we agreed to work together on all the different components that I had outlined for you a bit earlier.
Who was involved in the negotiation around the memorandum of understanding? Who was sitting around the table for Port Hope?
Well, the memorandum of understanding came to us in a draft form. It was vetted by council. It was worked on by our CAO, and it went through a legal process as well, because we did want to ensure that on one hand, that we had clarity around what were the expectations. Secondly, we wanted to ensure that it was indeed non-binding. And third, we wanted to make sure that it provided the blueprint for the ask that we were going to make around additional growth readiness support.
How would you characterize the reaction of council to this signing?
The MOU is a natural extension of the resolution that council had passed. So it was very consistent with the position that council had at the very earliest stage of the project. And council was absolutely aware and in support of signing this MOU.
Did anyone reach out after you signed and said, way to go, or anything like that? Any of the councillors?
Well, they were all there at the announcement, or the majority of them were there at the announcement, and they knew that they were coming. I think that what council has really appreciated is the fact that we have been able to secure the amount of money that we have to ensure that this work is done well, that we maintain our autonomy, that we're able to advance our self-interest, and that we're protecting our taxpayers from the additional workload and the additional responsibility.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of the language so that everyone's clear about it. What is included in advanced planning activities? Can you maybe give us a flavor of what that involves?
Well, look, I mean, when you're talking about a large project of this potential magnitude, and, you know, you've heard the minister say that it could be providing up to 10,000 megawatts for the province. You've heard the minister say that it could potentially be the world's newest and largest nuclear plant. And so planning for something of this magnitude requires looking at almost every aspect of a community. You've got to think about infrastructure. You've got to think about transportation. You've got to think about housing. You've got to think about social services and health. You've got to think about education and school and childcare. And the list goes on and on and on. And so it touches on every aspect of a community, and that needs to be part of a comprehensive planning process.
What does it mean to support sustainable development and economic growth? What does that allude to?
Well, it's really just about, you know, how this is all going to play out with it touches on financial considerations. It touches on environmental considerations. It touches on ensuring that if we are going to be moving forward in some kind of project, that there is a plan for that kind of economic growth for the community to be ready for and to benefit from.
Because when you're talking about sustainable, you can take it a couple of ways. And one way is to say, well, is this going to last into the future? And how is Port Hope going to deal with this in the future? Or, as you alluded to, it could talk about environment. How do you see that language?
Well, I think it's a balance, Robert. I think that sustainable development is around two key components. I mean, it has an economic side to it and it has an environmental side to it. So how do we balance all of the different factors as we move forward in our planning? And again, it's to continually ensure that the best interest of the community are maintained, but also understanding that, look, the province has this very unique 25-year energy plan. It's not often in politics that you see any kind of plan that goes beyond 3 or 4 year windows, because those are political term windows. So to be contemplating a 25-year plan, to be contemplating a real intentional path towards clean energy and energy sovereignty, it's also a huge opportunity for our municipality to play a role in that. It's an multi-generational project.
What does the term overall community well-being imply? What's covered under those things?
Well, that we, again, have to ensure that as we move forward in these conversations, if we're contemplating being part of this kind of project, that we forefront our community well-being. And that's exactly it. Well-being takes on a number of different components if you take a social determinants of health approach to it. And that would then encompass being able to live a good life here in Port Hope, having access to health services, ensuring that there's a clean environment, ensuring access to education, recreation, all the things that really do advance community well-being.
What do you see as the advantages of such a project?
Well, I think as I've said before, being part of a really ambitious 25-year plan to advance clean energy in Canada is quite exciting. Being able to be part of a plan that is trying to secure energy sovereignty is pretty important these days, especially as we're starting to see more and more of those pressures coming from the United States. So it's part of that Canadian pride. I also think it's a tremendous opportunity for the municipality of Port Hope to ensure its financial future. We have an opportunity to become extraordinarily economically resilient through this kind of opportunity. And for a small size municipality that hasn't had a lot of industry and a lot of commerce, we're facing the same challenges that all other municipalities are across the province with aging infrastructure, with having to address our asset management requirements, with higher than average taxes here in this community that we've heard a lot about over the years. So this is a real opportunity for that economic growth, for new jobs, and I would also say for youth in our community to see a future in this community, good jobs that they can come to. They can come to this community, have a very good job, raise their families here, and not have to leave. So there are a lot of potential wins as we contemplate this.
When you talk about jobs, what kind of jobs are we talking about? I mean, are these professional jobs? Are they trades, white collar, blue collar? What sort of range do you see taking place?
Well, it's the whole spectrum. It's the whole spectrum, ranging from skilled trades, which are absolutely essential for a project of this size, right through to if you want to be a nuclear scientist, that will be on the table. If you want to be an AI data analyst, that will be part of our future. I think that from having looked at builds that are happening internationally right now in the USA and in the UK, the range of jobs, the breadth and depth of opportunity is absolutely endless. When I visited Hinkley Point C last fall, there were 12,000 workers on site the day that I visited, and they were doing a whole range of different kinds of work, but good paying work, stable work.
Somebody might hear that number, 12,000 jobs, 12,000 people coming into the area, and it might seem a bit overwhelming. How do you think about that?
Well,
in terms of the growth in the area.
Well, it loops back to what you asked me earlier about planning activities, right? These are the things that we have to contemplate and to think about and to learn from what's happened in other jurisdictions. What are the lessons learned around what's the optimum housing, the location of the optimum housing, the supports for having a workforce come into the community? Now, we are a little bit different from some of the sites that I've learned from in the US and the UK, in that we are part of an extended GTA East growing nuclear corridor. So we're going to see a lot more movement of workforce in and around our region, but nevertheless, we'll have to be prepared for the workforce that will be coming to Port Hope should this project move forward at different milestones.
The environment will be a major topic of discussion. About half the site is identified as being environmentally sensitive. What is going to be done to protect these lands that are known to be rare for the north shore of Lake Ontario?
Well, I'm sure you were aware, Robert, that earlier this year, OPG filed what's called an initial project description with the Impact Assessment Agency of Canada, which is called IAC. That's the acronym. And, you know, this is an important regulatory milestone that initiates the impact assessment process for the potential for nuclear generation in Port Hope. IAC is, it's very rigorous. It reviews major projects to support sustainable development, protects the environment, to uphold the rights of Indigenous peoples, with a real emphasis on collaboration and meaningful participation. And there's a website that is absolutely dedicated to IAC. And I'm going to just mention it because it is important. canada.ca/en/impact-assessment-agency.html. So an initial comment period, as well as in-person engagement opportunities, were conducted by IAC through January and the first half of February. And as part of this process, the municipality had an opportunity to provide comments regarding the proposed project. And as a result of that public meeting, the municipality really put forward all of its concerns and all of its thoughts in relation to what should be part of this impact assessment. And the public also had an opportunity to be part of this process as well. So very important. It is a federal regulatory requirement, and there's absolutely no shortcomings around it. And I'll just share to you some of the highlights that the municipality included in its submissions and recommendations to IAC. And by virtue of IAC, also OPG and CNSC. So recommendations to request a project name change. The project to date has really mentioned West Sleeville over and over again, and the general public doesn't always know that West Sleeville is part of Port Hope, or the general public is confused about the language of both Port Hope and West Sleeville. So that's one thing that's been requested. The recommended inclusion of supporting transformer and switching stations and Hydro One transmission corridors, infrastructure, soft service and transportation improvements, recommendation for harmonized federal impact assessment with the province of Ontario to make sure that the federal level and the provincial level of government are working in tandem with this impact assessment, and also an environmental assessment statutory and regulatory requirements. And that falls, in addition to that, more specifically, is a recommendation for what's called a valued ecosystem component. And this includes basically a detailed list of various topics, which we underscore as being of critical importance, including, and I'm looking at the list in front of me because I don't want to miss anything in speaking to you: housing, roads, parks, heritage preservation, agriculture, employment, economic development, public and private health service considerations, Indigenous culture, heritage and other interests, natural heritage systems, climate change, roads and related infrastructure, and emergency management. So this report is available on our municipal website for the public to have a closer look at. But what I can say is that we've done a deep dive. We've taken this very seriously, and we're being very rigorous in what we've been asking for as part of this impact assessment process. And to give folks a bit of a sense of the timelines, typically these assessment processes, because they are so complicated, because they have so many things to consider, take about 5 years to do.
The Impact Assessment Agency of Canada has received more than 700 submissions. A majority of them do not appear to want a nuclear station to be developed at this site. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what, Robert, I'd like to do a deeper dive on the analysis of those responses. First of all, to see how many of those responses are coming from our local residents, how many of these responses are coming from organizations or advocacy groups, how many of these responses are similar in size and scope to other projects that we have seen across the province. So before I can comment on what I think about it, I'd like to know, you know, who are the voices, what percentage of them are coming from our local residents? And I'd like a deeper dive in the analysis of those responses and who the respondents are.
Why do you distinguish between the two groups, local versus outsiders? What's the significance to you there?
Well, because I think that first and foremost, we need to be engaging with our local constituents. Local constituents being Port Hope, Northumberland County, to find out more about what their responses are to this proposal. And we will be also doing our own engagement process later on, Robert, once we have more information about the project. And specifically, I think once the technology choice is made and we have a better sense of the contours. So for me, we need to really have a better sense of the project before we start engaging in our local community. But I think our local community has to be where that engagement starts.
The Indigenous community is being given a landmark opportunity to make its own impact assessment. How significant is this in your mind?
Well, I think it's very significant. We have always, I think that the municipality of Port Hope has demonstrated its deep commitment to truth and reconciliation. We've worked closely with Alderville Nation on a number of different projects, and I have with the chief, in particular, most recently on the legal personhood project that he is now pursuing for Rice Lake, and hopefully at some point that may also come to Ganaraska River. So they are stakeholders. They are partners in this process, and we have to take that seriously.
Oftentimes, First Nations are concerned about duty to consult and feel that they're not necessarily treated as equals. Are the Indigenous community an equal partner in this venture in your eyes?
I'm not going to speak on behalf of our nation, our surrounding nations. That's a question that should be posed to them.
Do you think the Indigenous community has the power to withdraw consent or stop the project from going forward?
Again, I think that is a question for them to answer and a question for the province and OPG to answer.
How do you determine NIMBYism or the not in my backyard objections from other concerns from people and organizations may have to the project?
Well, I think you have to look at what the responses are and, you know, what issues folks are raising. And I think it's really a case by case scenario. I think it's important that people are met where they're at. And as I said, we're at the very early preliminary stages of what is potentially a very long process. And so we just have to do our due diligence at every step.
Port Hope Council and OPG and the provincial government can all say this is only a memorandum of understanding and it's in the infancy of this project and it's only getting started. But there's a huge investment by the province, OPG, and other levels of government and agencies. Do you feel any obligation to get this deal done at this point?
It is too early to talk about any deal being done. I think I think your question is, you know, raises an issue of, we are a small municipality. We had a small staff composition. We did not have the competencies and expertise to be doing our due diligence, even in an exploration stage. And it was important for us to make sure that we addressed those shortcomings and those gaps so that we could be meaningful partners in the exploration, in the discussion moving forward.
What assurances can you give residents and concerned parties that this project will undergo sufficient scrutiny before the project goes ahead and that a consensus will be built?
Well, the process itself is informed by strict regulations from different levels of government. This is not a municipality of Port Hope decision. This is a decision that has to pass the muster with the federal government's impact assessment process. There's a provincial process that also needs to be followed. There's regulatory bodies that are involved in this, namely, probably importantly, CNSC. There are so many different processes that need to be properly gotten through that the assurance is that Canada as a country has set up these processes to protect the safety and the health of its residents. And that's why it takes so many years.
We've talked a lot about Port Hope, but what about neighboring municipalities in Northumberland County? How involved are they going to be in this process in terms of deliberations?
Well, you know, again, it's very early stages. And so at this point, OPG has focused on Port Hope because we are the potential host community. I think there has been numerous points of outreach to Northumberland County, which represents the other lower tiers. And beyond that, it's really up to OPG to determine how they want to unfold those conversations.
Port Hope is in the process of completing a major cleanup of nuclear waste. The town has worked for years to shed its nuclear past. Is it a good idea to be embracing nuclear once more?
Well, Robert, I think that's apples and oranges. I think the past is, to compare the cleanup to what's being contemplated right now, is truly apples and oranges. And so I don't even think that for most people that they're thinking about them in the exact same way. And if they are, they're conflating things that are very, very different.
If you could ask anything of Port Hope residents and council going forward, what would that be?
To ask of them or to ask them?
To ask of them.
To ask of them, I would say that please be patient, because this is a long process and we are, in fact, very, very committed to doing our due diligence. It's why we worked so incredibly hard to secure the growth readiness monies so that we could be prepared as a strong and engaged partner on the ground. I mean, it was almost a year that passed from the time that the announcement was first made at the Wesleyville site to the time that we officially signed an MOU. And that was because we were advocating on behalf of this community to ensure that we had the economic and human resources in place to do a good job. And I believe that we are very well positioned now to move through the various different steps. And it is a long process. It's a complicated process. And we will always be looking out for the best interest of our community moving forward. So a little patience, definitely. But also engagement. We'd like to see engagement when the municipality starts to reach out And we want those discussions. We want to be able to ask and answer difficult and hard questions. And at the end of the day, whatever the decision that is made, we really do want to ensure that the community is behind it. And ask what I can ask of council is more of just the same of what's happened to date, which is an openness, but at the same time, always a view to what is best for Port Hope moving forward. And I hope that the future council will continue to be vigilant and advocating for all that we need in order to ensure that our best interests are met.
Your Worship, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you for your time.
That was Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankvinsky. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.